Alan Turing was born on June 23, 1912, in a Britain that still walked with the solemn confidence of an empire convinced of its own preeminence. At first glance, his arrival did not seem to announce the emergence of one of the most decisive minds of the 20th century. His cradle was neither that of a working-class family destined to struggle its way up from the bottom, nor that of an intellectual aristocracy devoted to books and abstract thought. Rather, he belonged to that layer of respectable, disciplined imperial officials who sustained the British administrative machine with a mixture of duty, habit, and faith in the stability of order. His father, Julius Matheson Turing, worked in the imperial administration in India. His mother, Ethel Sarah Stoney, came from an educated family with a sensitivity to learning and to certain refined forms of English life. Together, they well represented the moral universe of their era: responsibility, propriety, emotional restraint, and the conviction that life should be conducted according to clear rules. From the start, however, the child who would become Alan Turing did not seem to fit entirely into the social choreography the world expected of him. Even before mathematics emerged as a visible vocation or logic as the deep structure of his thought, something distinctive appeared in the way he perceived everything around him. It was not merely precocious intelligence, for that label is often too poor to describe a child whose curiosity did not consist of learning quickly what others taught him, but of questioning reality from an angle others had not anticipated. While many children accept the world as a sequence of given facts, Alan seemed to observe it as if every object, routine, and behavior concealed an internal mechanism susceptible to being understood. In him, there was a need to go behind appearances, not to be satisfied with "that's just the way things are," to seek the principle that ordered the visible. This trait did not appear in a vacuum. Early 20th century England offered a scene of apparent firmness, but beneath that surface decisive tensions were beginning to accumulate. The country was still an imperial power, though it could no longer ignore social fractures, international rivalries, and technological changes that were transforming modern life. Railways, telegraphs, new forms of production, discussions about science and education, political debates, and growing technical sophistication drew a landscape in which the very notion of progress was becoming more complex. For a mind like Turing's, this context had a silent importance. Though he was still a child, he grew up in a culture where machines were no longer simple tools but symbols of the future, where science was beginning to offer not only knowledge but also power, and where the rational organization of the world seemed an ambition both political and intellectual. In the first years of his life, moreover, there was a decisive circumstance that marked his sensibility: distance. Because of his father's work in India, the Turing family structure was traversed by geographic separations and arrangements typical of the imperial world. His parents spent seasons outside England, and the children were left in the care of tutors or host families. For Alan, this meant a childhood less linear and less warm than conventional images of Edwardian family life sometimes suggest. It was not abandonment in the melodramatic sense, but it was a form of emotional discontinuity. Home, which for other children functions as a stable center of the world, for him held something provisional. This early experience matters because it helps us understand one of the more delicate nuances of his character, the combination of self-sufficiency and vulnerability. The child learned to fend for himself, to inhabit his own interiority, to entertain himself with ideas and problems, at the same time, that autonomy could coexist with a deep need for connection and recognition that did not always find easy channels. In that sense, it is tempting to imagine Alan as an isolated genius from the cradle, separated by essence from the rest of humanity. However, that reading oversimplifies too much. The young Turing was neither a premature monument nor a miniature thinking machine. He was a real child, with a body, affections, routines, bewilderments, and desires. Precisely for that reason, his difference is more interesting.